بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our sixth session, session number six, reading from Fath al-Qawiyy al-Mateen في الشرح الأربعين وتتمة الخمسين للإمام النووي وابن رجب رحمهم الله. يعني the explanation of 50 hadith of al-Imam al-Nawawi and Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, the explanation of Sheikh Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Tonight in this session, we hope, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to complete what remains from the second part of the hadith, yani the second level of the deen of Allah, that which is related to Al-Iman. And what remains are two points from the pillars of Iman, two extremely very very important points, that is al-iman bil-yawm al-akhir and also al-iman bil-qadr. After that, we want to take the third level of the deen of Allah, that is al-ihsan, which the Shaykh mentions in brief here in this summary explanation. However, it is of the utmost importance that we examine it carefully and understand what is al-ihsan, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq in achieving that level of worship, which is the highest level of the maratib of the deen of Allah. And after that, the final topic of this hadith is the sa'ah, the hour of judgment, and its signs, or at least its signs. And today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we hope to complete this hadith. Next week, inshallah, we'll be looking at the third hadith. And due to the fact that the explanation is not extremely lengthy, we should complete it in one session. So whoever is memorizing hadith, inshallah, hopefully that you start memorizing the next hadith for next week before the next session. Before we look at the topics for this evening, specifically, we want to take a quick review of some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 5. The first question being memorize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's explanation of al-iman in this hadith number 2. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, akhbirni an al-iman, what was his answer? Anybody? Now, Talib.
Tu'minu billahi wa malaikatihi
wa malaikatihi
wa kutubihi wa rusulihi
wal yawm al-akhir. Just one note for Arabic students, and tu'mina mansub with fatha, and tu'mina billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wal yawm al akhir wa tu'mina bil qadri khayrihi wa sharri. The second question, the author says al iman billahi, true faith in Allah includes having iman in his what? Naam, iman. Oh, I'm sorry. Bi-wujudihi, iman in his existence, that Allah does exist. Naam. And his rububiyyah, that he is the Rabbul Alameen. Naam. Al-uluhiyyah, he is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And his names and his characteristics or qualities. Anybody want to add anything to that? That's the answer. But the Shaykh also, after that, he mentioned two other points which are of importance. This is the core of the answer as he's given it. But he also mentioned what? That he, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to be described with the characteristics of perfection that are suitable and appropriate for him, and that he should be declared to be free of every type of shortcoming, defect, or imperfection. So the answer here, yani the core of the answer, is that iman in Allah requires that we believe that he exists, first and foremost. And then the three main areas of tawheed, tawheed al-rububiyyah, tawheed al-uluhiyyah, and tawheed al-asma wa sifat. And these, each of these categories require lengthy discussion. The Shaykh discussed them in brief in what we talked about last week. Question number 3, the af'al, yani the actions of Allah, relate to which type of tawheed, while the af'al of al-ibad, the worshippers, relates to which type of tawheed? Naam, Abdul Wali. Af'al of Allah relates to tawheed al-rububiyyah, the actions of Allah as the creator and the provider and the one who gives life and death and so on, who controls the affairs of the universe. Naam, and the af'al? Af'al al-ibad relates to tawheed al-uluhiyyah, yani the tawheed that relates to the actions of the worshippers worshipping Allah. Yani that they have love of Allah and fear of Allah, and that they seek help from Allah and depend upon Allah and do sacrifice, the acts that the people do, yani as acts of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what is referred to by Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Question number 4, summarize the author's explanation of what we are required to believe concerning Asma of Allah and His Sifat. Yani the Shaykh, he explained very, very briefly what Asma, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat entails, and summarize what he said. No, I'm sorry. I really get better with you, Qasim. MashaAllah.
Hopes for him one day, so I'm going to give me
money. Okay.
Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, naam. To affirm all of Allah's qualities and attributes, naam. Without making any comparison to His creation, naam.
Without explaining His qualities.
Without trying to explain the how of them, naam.
And given no distortions or taken away from.
No distortions or denials or any rejecting what He has confirmed for Himself. Anybody want to add to that anything? A little bit? A couple of small points?
That we affirm for Allah
these names and qualities and characters that He has affirmed for Himself, and also what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam affirmed for Him. Whatever Allah has affirmed for Himself, how can we deny it? Whatever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed for Him, how can we deny it? To affirm all of these things that Allah has affirmed for Himself and that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed for Him, including the names, the beautiful names of Allah, the lofty qualities and characteristics of Allah, and to affirm them in a way that is appropriate and suitable to the perfection, the greatness and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without making any distortions or false interpretations, denials and so on, as Qasim mentioned. Now, question number 4, memorize the dalil in the 42nd surah, 11th ayat, which points to the principle of affirmation and negation as it relates to His Asma and Sifat. The ayat. Naam, Fadl, Abdul Wahid.
Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwa as-sami'u
bashir. Basir, naam. Jazakallah khair. This question is a memorization question. And sometimes we have memorization questions, and the reason for that is because there are some ayat from the Quran and some hadith, bare minimum, that a Muslim must know. And we should memorize the Quran and we should memorize the Sunnah as much as possible. But if a person didn't memorize the whole of the Quran, there are some ayats that are of basic foundation principles that are critical. And it's better that it be memorized. And we have the ability to memorize if we just push ourselves a little. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un wa huwas samiul basir. The Shaykh said, in this ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered together the affirmation and the negation that we discussed just in the previous question. The affirmation of the names or characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came in the saying of Allah, wa huwa as-sami'ul basir, and the negation came in laysa kamithlihi shay'un. Yani that negating that there's anything or anyone that is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these yani beautiful names and perfect qualities and characteristics. Question number 6 mentioned 3 points required for proper iman in the malaika, that is, from their descriptions or their responsibilities or their names. From their descriptions, the Shaykh mentioned several things from amongst them. The malaika, naam, that they're created from light. Also, that Jibril is described as having 600 wings, naam. And the angels have wings, 2 or 3 or 4, Jibril is described as having 600 wings, naam. They don't disobey Allah. They do whatever they are commanded to do.
No one knows their number but Allah.
And no one, that there are many, yani, no one knows their number except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now.
Yeah, that's it. No one knows the number. I'm talking about 7,000 angels. When you go through the house.
Now. Yani, an example of that is that the Prophet ﷺ mentions that 70,000 angels visit Al-Bayt Al-Ma'mur above the seven heavens every day. And they never return. Yani, the next day, different angels came. And this is an example of the yani, large number that is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the number of the angels. Also from there, responsibilities. What did he mention concerning the responsibilities? I'm going to start on this side because I'll never look over here. Naam?
Yeah. Revelation.
Revelation. To bring the revelation. Naam?
Rain.
Death.
Paradise.
Control.
The womb.
What is in the wombs and so on. And from their names that the Shaykh mentioned, he said in the Quran and in the Sunnah, some of their names are mentioned specifically. Israfil.
Munkar.
Nakia, Malik, Jibril, first and foremost, Jibril, Mikael, now. Question number 7, mention 3 points required for proper iman in the kutub, the revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 3 points that the Shaykh mentioned.
The speech of Allah.
That they are the speech of Allah, they are not created. It's required for us to believe that they are the speech of Allah, they are not created, now. That they are revealed, now. The truthfulness of every book that Allah revealed to every messenger that He sent with a revelation. Naam. That the book, the guidance, the revelation that Allah revealed through a prophet is the source of success for the people that it was revealed to. Naam. And some of them have been named as well. Naam. Some of them have been named, some of them have not been named. From amongst those that are named, that's the next question, I'm sorry. That's question number 8. List the names of those revelations, the kutub of Allah which are mentioned in the Quran. Somebody said Injil, Torah, Suhufi Ibrahim wa Musa. Did we miss one? Az-Zabur, now. And Quran, now. Tayyib. Question number 9. Last question. Mention 3 points required for proper iman in the messengers, the Rusul, from the commentary of the author. 3 points that he mentioned concerning what is required to have proper iman in the messengers. 1 point, naam, okay. Yani that they were sent to guide the people to the truth, to give the people right guidance, to remove them out of darkness into the light. Naam. Naam, that Allah has chosen, Allah Himself has chosen from amongst the human beings any messengers that He sent to the people to guide them. Naam, what else?
And that
the Shaykh also mentioned that there are no messengers from amongst the jinn, but rather from amongst them are warners. Naam, and one final point, we'll stop with this. From amongst them, there are those that are mentioned in the Qur'an and others that are not mentioned. And those that are mentioned in the Qur'an, the Shaykh said, are?
25.
18 in Surah Al-An'am. And 7 elsewhere. Now, okay, today, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we want to complete what remained from Al-Iman, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has, how he has described al-iman, the 6 arkan of iman, and what remains is al-iman bil yawm al-akhir and al-iman bil qadr. So we're going to do that, and then as we mentioned, inshallah, we'll go to the last level of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in this hadith concerning the levels of the deen of Allah, that is al-ihsan and the signs of the hour. So, on page 24 of the Arabic text, of the copy that we are reading from, on the bottom of the page, and he connected to the explanation of the Prophet ﷺ's explanation of what is iman, the Shaykh mentions, وَالْإِيمَانْ بِالْيَوْمْ الْآخِرِ الْإِيمَانْ بِالْيَوْمْ الْآخِرِ يعني, to have iman in the last day. What is required, he said, is التصديق والإقرار بكل ما جاء في الكتاب والسنة عن كل ما يكون بعد الموت. كل ما يكون بعد الموت. يعني that it is that we affirm the truthfulness of and we affirm and confirm everything that came in the Quran and in the Sunnah as it relates to everything that is going to occur after death. So, al-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir, it includes affirming the truthfulness of whatever information came to us in the Quran and the Sunnah related to the events after death. Yani, when, from the time a person dies, whatever we know from the Quran and Sunnah is going to happen, all of that is part of al-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir. So, the Iman in Yawm al-Akhir, it doesn't begin after the resurrection when people enter the paradise and the hellfire. Rather, it begins from the death of the person. When a person dies, all the events after that are included as al-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir. Then the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made two places of abode. Two of them. One of them is Dar al-Dunya, yani the life in this world, and the other one is Dar al-Akhirah, the next life, yani the life in the hereafter. Two places the human beings will live. There's life in this world, in al-Dunya, and there's life in Dar al-Akhirah, in the next world. The boundary, the clear line of demarcation between these two abodes is al-maut wal-nafkhu fi al-sur. Al-maut is the line that separates the life in this world, in the dunya, from the life in the akhirah. When a person dies, that is where the life in this world ends. The other line or boundary that separates the life in this world from the life in the next life is النفخ في الصور الذي يحصل به موت من كان حيا في آخر الدنيا. Yani, the other sign is the blowing into the horn, which will cause to occur the death of everyone who is still living at the end of this world. Yani, anybody that is in this world, when that horn is blown, it will be the, it will cause the occurrence of the death of everyone that is living. And this is also the demarcation line, the sign, the boundary line, the end of the life of this world. When that happens, that's the end of the life in this world for all human beings, as opposed to the end of life in this world for each human being is at their death. But this is the end, the final end, when every living being in this world, yani, will be caused to die. Then the Shaykh says, وَكُلُّ مَنْ مَاتَ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. Yani, every person who dies, at that point of his death, his qiyamah begins. Yani, the things that's related to the next life begins at the time of his death. وَانْتَقَلَ مِنْ دَارِ الْعَمَلِ إِلَى دَارِ الْجَزَاءِ. The Shaykh here is explaining, yani, he's describing these two abodes. Yani, Dar al-Dunya wa al-Dar al-Akhirah. He is explaining, he's describing each of them with a different description. These are their titles: Dar al-Dunya, the abode of this world, wa al-Dar al-Akhirah, the abode of the next life. He describes them as the place of work or action and the place of reward or compensation. Yani, so when the person dies, in taqala, he goes from Dar al-Amal, that is Dar al-Dunya, to Dar al-Jaza, that is Dar al-Akhirah. When a person dies, he leaves the abode of work, where a person can do work, can do deeds, can pray, can fast, can read the Quran, can study the deen, give da'wah, advise, enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. A person can do work. But when a person dies, that's the end of that, except as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that there are some deeds that are ongoing. And even when a person dies, like Sadaqah Jariyah, a charity that is ongoing, a knowledge that a person left behind, or a righteous child that prays for their parent, a righteous child, not any child. Because maybe a child that's unrighteous may pray for their parents. But the benefit here is from the righteous child. And that means that it's in our interest, if we have children, to try hard, to work, to struggle, to strive, to ask Allah's help, and raising our children, so that they will be righteous children, so that even after we die, there will be some help for us in the dua of our righteous children. Then the Shaykh, he says, "Well, hayat ba'd al-maut, hayatan, hayatan." Yani the life after death is two lives. There's two types of life after death. The first of them, he said, is hayatun barzakhiyya. Hayat barzakhiyya. Yani the life in the barzakh. And he explains what that means. That life is what? Hiya ma bayn al-maut wal-ba'ath. It is the life that a person is going to live after death and before the resurrection. There's a period of time that a person in the grave, or even if they're not in the grave, if they were drowned or burned or whatever, and in that period of time after a person dies, that's known as barzakh. And that, people will live, that there's a type of life that only Allah knows, as the Shaykh says, but that is a life that's after death, but before the resurrection to life again, barzakh. Here, ما بين الموت والبعث. والحياة بعد الموت, I think that it should have been والحياة بعد البعث. يعني the second life, the first life is حياة برزخية. That is between death and the resurrection. And حياة بعد البعث. يعني the life that's after the resurrection. So there's two types of life after death. One of them is immediately after death up until resurrection, and the other one is after the resurrection. Wallahu a'lam. It seems as though, from the context, that is what is intended here. Then the Shaykh says, the hayat barzakhiyya, no one knows its reality except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, it is real life. But no human being, no one knows exactly the reality, the haqiqah of that life. What is it? How is it? Yani, the only thing we know about it is what we have been informed of by revelation. Other than that, no human being knows, yani, the reality of that life. But it is life. It is real life. And it's life after death, up until the period of the resurrection. And he said this life is connected to the life after death. Yani, in other words, the life after death is two periods, the barzakh period, and then after the resurrection period. So this is connected to life after death. This type of life is connected to life after death. And perhaps, yani, what is intended here is the same thing, that is connected to the life that we know after death, that is after the resurrection. Yani, this is connected to that. And this is because in each one of them, the life in the barzakh and the life after the resurrection, each one of them, fi kullin minhuma al-jaza'u ala al-amal. In each one of them there's reward for a person's deeds. There's compensation for a person's deed. Good for good and the opposite as well. So they are related in which way? That there's jaza in the barzakh, and there's also jaza in the life that is after the resurrection. The Shaykh says, what type of yani jaza? The ahlu as-sa'ada muna'amuna fil kubur bi na'im al-jannah, wa ahlu shaqawa mu'adhabuna fiha bi adhab an-nar. Yani the jaza for the ahlu sa'ada, the people who will be fortunate, the people who will enjoy happiness because of the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people, they will be experiencing bliss in the grave due to the na'im of the Jannah. While they're in the grave, before they enter the Jannah, they will be experiencing some of the bliss, some of the joy, some of the happiness of Jannah, even while they're in the grave. While the people of Shaqawa, the unfortunate, the wretched people, the people yani who Allah will punish, then they will be experiencing punishment from the punishment of the fire while they're in the grave. So there's yani na'im al-jannah, and there's also azab an-nar in the grave. People will experience the bliss of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they're in the grave, or the punishment, yani if that's what they are deserving of. Finally, the Shaykh says, and obviously this is a tremendous summary, but the Shaykh, he puts here in the closing of the point of believing in the Yawm al-Akhir, he gives us a summary of the affairs that we should be thinking about when he said earlier that al-Iman bil Yawm al-Akhir includes everything after death. So there are lots of things that includes, and here the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, mentions a summary of those things, summary of them. He says, وَيَدْخُلْ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ الْإِيمَانِ بِالْبَعْثِ والحشر والشفاعة والحوض والحساب والميزان والصراط والجنة والنار وغير ذلك مما جاء في الكتاب والسنة. So here the Shaykh is summarizing يعني what he alluded to in the beginning of this point, and that is that all of the affairs that occur after death are included in Al-Iman Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir. And from amongst the major events that we should be thinking about when we think about Al-Iman Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir is يعني having Iman in Al-Ba'ath, the resurrection, that dead people will be resurrected. Al-Hashr, that the people will be gathered. Al-Shafa'a, that there will be intercession by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to whomever He allows, for whomever He allows. There's the Hawd and the Hisab and the Mizan. So there's the pond that the people will drink from. Yani, and the Prophet ﷺ said, describe to us that pond. What will be some of its characteristics? Yani, from its characteristics is that a person who drinks from it will never experience thirst again. Then he said, Al-Hisab, that is the accounting that every person will be called to account for what we have, yani, what we're responsible for in this world. The hisab is the thing from amongst these things that he has mentioned that a person has to be very concerned about in this world. Because it is now what you do that will make the difference in the time of hisab. A person's account will be just and fair. And it will only be according to what we have done. Al-Mizan is the weighing of the deeds. Weighing of the deeds. And As-Sirat is the bridge that people will cross over to enter into paradise, or they may fall off into the punishment. And the Nar is the destination of the people who disbelieve and the people who are disobedient, even from amongst the believers. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive their sins, then they may be punished for some time. The actual people whose yani place is the Nar are the people who will be there permanently, the people who have disbelieved. And all of this, he said, is part of what we are talking about when we say Al-Iman Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir, in addition to, other than that, other things that came in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah. So this is a big topic, and volumes of books have been written about it, and it is incumbent upon each of us to go back and read further on this topic that the Shaykh, may Allah protect and preserve him, has summarized here. The final point of Al-Iman, the pillars of Iman, the Shaykh says, Al-Iman Bil-Qadr. Yani having iman in the divine decree. And this includes, yani al-iman bi-anna Allah qaddara kulla ma huwa ka'inun ila yawm al-qiyamah. Yani the summary of iman bil-qadr is that it is to believe in everything that Allah has predetermined, that He has measured out for the creation. Everything related to our lives that He predetermined. Everything that's going to happen until yawm al-qiyamah. And it has four levels, the Shaykh says, and he summarized them, ilm, kitaba, mashiyah, and khalq. That it includes Allah's knowledge eternally. Yani from the, He always had knowledge of everything that is going to occur. This is part of al-iman bil-qadr, that we believe that Allah always had knowledge of everything that will occur. Second thing, that He wrote these things that are pre-decreed before He created the heavens and the earth, 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. And the third level is Mashiach, that Allah's Mashiach, His will, yani it is by His will that everything that He decrees occurs. And finally He said, Khalqullah wa ijaduhu likulli ma qaddarahu tibqan lima alimahu wa katabahu wa sha'ahu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates everything, brings into existence everything that He has pre-decreed in accordance with His knowledge and in accordance with what He had written and in accordance with His will. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator. There's not a creator of good and a creator of evil. There's only one creator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that exists and our actions and our qualities and our characteristics, all of it is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is in accordance with Allah's eternal knowledge. It is in accordance with what Allah had written before He created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years, and it's in accordance with the will of Allah. Then the Shaykh says, he closed this point, and he also very extremely summarized. He says, so it is obligatory for us to have iman in these four aspects of the qadr, these four levels of the qadr, and to believe that everything which Allah wills. اعتقاد أن كل شيء شاءه الله يعني everything that Allah willed, it must occur. It must come into existence. And that everything which Allah didn't will, it is not possible for it to exist, to occur. And this is the meaning of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ. Yani that know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, know that whatever has befallen you, it could not have passed you by. And whatever had passed you by, it could not have befallen you. Yani everything is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever He has willed will be, and whatever He didn't will never occur. Then the Shaykh says, and this hadith, this statement here, will come yani in hadith number 19 of the 40 hadith of Al-Imam Al-Nawud. After this, the final level of the levels of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the saying in this hadith, فأخبرني عن الإحسان. Yani the saying of Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, so inform me about Al-Ihsan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered by saying, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. This is the definition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Ihsan. And before we look at it very, very briefly, the Shaykh doesn't discuss it in any length here, but before we look at it very, 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 very briefly, I want to remind us of the importance of these few words in which he has described Al-Ihsan, which is the highest level of the maratib of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Islam is important to us, and obviously it is, that's why we have entered into Islam, or maybe we are from families that, yani we're already Muslim. If Iman, if we know that it is important, then how much more so Al-Ihsan? So it is important for us to reflect on what, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described it here, so that we can look at ourselves and see what means do we have, what method, what way do we have to achieve this level, yani from the maratib of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Ihsan. He said, it is that you worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَهُ. And if it is that you didn't see Him, you couldn't achieve that level, yani to worship Allah as though you are seeing Him, if you didn't reach that level, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Then know indeed that He sees you. And you worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. If not, then at least know for sure, be conscious, be aware, call to your mind that Allah indeed sees you. So these are two levels of Ihsan, the first of them being higher than the second. The Shaykh says, Al-Ihsan ala darajat. Yani the Ihsan is the highest of the levels, yani the highest level in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And below it is darajat al-Iman. Yani below darajat al-Ihsan is darajat al-Iman, is less than Ihsan. And below that is the level of, or the degree of al-Islam, lower than the two of them. Then the Shaykh says, وَكُلُّ مُؤْمِن مُسْلِم. Every mu'min, every person who has reached the level of Iman, then they are also included in, yani the description of Muslim. They are also Muslim, because Iman is a higher level. It includes it. And every muhsin is also a mu'min and Muslim, because it is a higher level, and it includes Iman and Islam. While not every Muslim is a mu'min and a muhsin, yani in this, from this perspective of what is Iman and Ihsan, doesn't mean that a person is not a believer if he didn't reach the level of Iman here. And the meaning of this hadith doesn't mean that person is not a believer, but they haven't reached the level where they have the right to be described with this yani characteristic of Iman. And for this reason, yani the levels of Islam and Iman, yani one being higher than the other, other for this reason it came in Surah Al-Hujurat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا. Yani the Bedouins, they said, we have believed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to them saying, كُلَّمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ كُلُّوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Yani, say that you have not believed, but rather say that you have surrendered, yani in Islam. Yani you have accepted the Islam. You have agreed to submit and surrender, but you haven't reached that level, the higher level of Iman that's mentioned in this particular hadith. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلُ إِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, not yet, لَمَّا يَدْخُلُ. Yani, not yet. Lamma here, the connotation is that indeed, Iman has not yet entered into your heart. But there's a further meaning, and that is, not yet. That means that there's hope that a person can reach that level of iman. So here in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the distinction between the level of Islam and the higher level iman. And then as far as ihsan, the shaykh says, and it came in this hadith, the clarification of the high level, the lofty station of the level of ihsan. And that is in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarahu. That is that you worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. How does the shaykh explain this in just a few words? Some of the scholars have written in length about the meaning of these words. The shaykh summarized it in a very simple and easy way to understand. He said, to worship Allah as though you're seeing Him, it means ta'budahu ka'annaka waqifun bayna yadayhi tarahu. Yani worship Him as though you are standing in front of Him, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing Him. If a person can think about how it would be, if your heart reached that level and your consciousness, your iman, reached the level that you worship Allah as though you are standing in front of Him, seeing Him. This is something yani, to strive for, and tawfiq is only from Allah. وَمَنْ كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِ بِالْعِبَادَةِ عَلَى التَّمَامِ وَالْكَمَالِ. The Shaykh says, so whoever was like that, that was their condition, that they were able to worship Allah as though they are standing in front of Him, looking at Him, then that person will perform their worship perfectly and completely. That person will perform their worship perfectly and completely. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ عَلَى هَذِي الْحَالِ. But if a person wasn't on that level, didn't reach that level of consciousness to worship Allah like that, فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَسْتَشْعِرْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مُتَّلِعٌ عَلَيْهِ لَا يَخْفَ مِنْهُ خَافِيًا. Then in that case, the person should strive for the next level of ihsan, which is also excellent, no doubt. It is incumbent, he said, then the person have to bring to their mind the consciousness. They must be aware that Allah is overlooking you, and that there is nothing concealed that is hidden from Him. If something is concealed, it's not hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two levels yani, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions concerning al-ihsan in this hadith. And the first of them is that a person try to reach a level of iman, yani due to their reflection on the Quran, due to their knowledge of the names and sifat of Allah, due to their reflection on the creation of Allah and their remembrance of Allah constantly, a person's heart will be in a condition that they will be nearer to Allah and perhaps reach that level of worshipping Allah as though they are standing in front of Him, seeing Him. If a person couldn't reach that, then at least be conscious, be aware, constantly call to mind that Allah is watching over us, and that there is nothing, even that which is concealed to the creation, nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, in this case, yani the second level, the person is conscious that Allah is watching them. He said, the person would take every precaution that Allah would not see him in a position, in a situation or circumstance that he has prohibited. Yani that Allah will not see that person doing something that he has prohibited, or being somewhere that he has prohibited. Rather, that person will act upon, yani do things that such that so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would only see them doing that which He has commanded. If a person is aware that Allah is watching them, then they will be cautious and careful to avoid doing anything from that which Allah has prohibited, and rather they will try to engage themselves and busy themselves in doing the things that Allah has commanded. After this, the Shaykh mentions the last part of the hadith related to the hour. He said the saying, قَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. So inform me about the hour, yani the hour of judgment. He said, مَلْ مَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمْ مِنَ السَّاعِلُ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who is being questioned about the hour is not more knowledgeable than the one who is asking the question. Yani every created being is equal in reference to this matter of the knowledge of the hour. The questioner and the one who is being questioned are equal. And in that sense, as the Shaykh mentions, every created being is equal, that no one knows about this except Allah. He says, اختص الله بعلم الساعة, that this is the knowledge of the hour is something that is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. No one knows when the hour will be established except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Luqman, 31st Surah, 34th, fourth ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدُهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ, that indeed Allah with him is the knowledge of the hour, meaning that he is the only one who knows the hour. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, and he is the one who sends down the rain. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and he is the only one who knows completely, perfectly, the knowledge of what is in the wombs. Not just is it male or female, but everything about it. Yani its life in this world, if it's going to live, and what it's going to do, and its end, its destination in the paradise. So that Allah is the only one who knows, yani, about that which is in the womb. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا, and no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow. Yani we don't know about tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ, and no soul knows in which land it will die. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ, indeed Allah, he is the one who has knowledge of everything and he is all aware of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in another place in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah 59th Ayat, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِهُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with him and with him alone are the keys of the unseen and no one knows them except him. And from amongst the مَفَاتِهُ الْغَيْبِ is the ilm as-sa'ah, yani the knowledge of the hour, as mentioned in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَفَاتِهُ الْغَيْبِ خَمْسَةٌ, yani the keys of the unseen, they are five. And then he recited this ayat beginning with, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدُهُ عِلْمَ السَّاعَةِ, that indeed with Allah is the knowledge of the hour. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 187th ayat, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي, to the end of the ayat, that they are asking about the hour, when will be its appointed time. Say, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being ordered to say that the knowledge of this is with my Rabb. No one will know its time except Allah. To, as we said, to the end of the ayat. After this, the Shaykh goes on to complete this particular point by saying, yani, while no one knows the time of the, yani, the hour of judgment, he said it did come in the Sunnah that the hour of judgment will be on Yawmul Jumu'ah. Yani the hour of judgment, it came authentically reported in the Sunnah that it will be on Yawmul Jumu'ah. As far as in which year, unknown. As far as in which month of the year, no one knows except Allah. As far as which Jumu'ah from any particular month, yani all of this is unknown. No one knows that except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions the hadith reported by Al-Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ فِيهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ, yani that the best day in which the sun rose is on Yawmul Jumu'ah. فِيهِ خُلِقَ Adam, in that day, Yawmul Jumu'ah, Adam was created. وَفِيهِ أُحْبِطَ, and in that day, he was removed from the paradise. وَفِيهِ طِيبَ عَلَيْهِ, and in that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, granted him success to turn in repentance and accepted his repentance. وَفِيهِ مَاتَ, and in that day on Yawmul Jumu'ah, yani, he died. وَفِيهِ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ, and in that day will be the establishment of the hour of judgment. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in this lengthy hadith, the Shaykh, he mentions this extra part of it, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ إِلَّا وَهِيَ مُسِيخَةٌ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ مِنْ حِينَ تُصْبِحُ حَتَّى تَطْلَعُ الشَّمْسِ شَفَقًا مِنَ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا الْجِنُّ وَالْإِنسِ. And then this is where he stopped in this narration of this hadith. He said that there's no yani animal except that it will be in waiting for the hour of judgment on Yawmul Jumu'ah from the time of Subh, yani from the time of the breaking of the dawn until the rising of the sun. That period in the morning, from the time of the breaking of dawn until the rising of the sun, every animal will be yani in fear of the hour, except the jinn and human beings. Yani that every creature will know that the hour of judgment is going to be on Yawmul Jumu'ah at that time, in that period of time, between the dawn and the sunrise. So on Yawmul Jumu'ah, in that period of time, every animal will be in fear, except the human beings and the jinn. In this hadith, the Shaykh says, hadithun sahihun, rijaluhu rijal kutub sitta illa al-ka'nabi, falam yukhrij lahu ibn Majah. Yani, technical point that the Shaykh is saying here, this is authentic hadith. The narrators of the hadith are the narrators that hadith are reported on their authority in all of the books of Sitta, except one narrator, Al-Ka'nabi, rahimahullah, who there's no hadith reported with him in the Isnad by Ibn Majah. All the other narrators are reported, are in chains of narration in all the books, the Sitta, except Ka'nabi, he's not mentioned in any narration or any Isnad of Ibn Majah. Then the Shaykh closes this point by saying, the meaning of the statement, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمْ مِنَ السَّائِلِ, the one who is being questioned about it is not more knowledgeable than the questioner. The meaning of this is that the creation, yani everything in the creation, no one or nothing in the creation knows when the hour of judgment will be established. وَأَنَّ أَيِّ سَائِلِ وَأَيِّ مَسْؤُولِ سَوَى فِي عَدْمِ الْعِلْمِ بِهَا, yani that no matter what, who is the questioner or who is the one asking or being asked the question, everyone is equal in this matter, that is, in that no one knows, no one has knowledge of this particular matter, the knowledge of the hour. After this, the Shaykh mentions the last point, the last main point from this hadith, the saying of Jibreel, where he said, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا, yani if no one knows about the hour when it will be, well, what are its signs? The Shaykh said, I mean, in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِيَاعَ الشَّاعِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ, yani from the signs of the hour of judgment is that a slave girl will give birth to her master, mistress, and that you will see the impoverished, barefooted, naked, yani not having clothing, shepherds competing in building tall buildings. The Shaykh says, yani the meaning of amaratuha, it means alamatuha, yani its signs, the signs of the hour. Yani he said they are divided into two divisions, the signs which are near and the signs which are before that. Yani the signs which are near to the actual establishment of the hour, the major signs of the hour of judgment, and the second division is the signs that are before that. So the lesser signs that are before that. He says from the signs of the nearness of the establishment of the hour is the sun coming forth from the place of its setting. The sun coming forth from the place where it sets. And the coming of the Dajjal, Masih al-Dajjal. And he says also, the coming forth of Yajuj and Ma'ajuj, Gog and Magog, and the descending of Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi salatu wasalam, from the heavens, and other than that. These are from the major signs. And each one of these signs, and it require us to go back and look at least and see yani some of the details concerning. The Shaykh is just mentioning them in passing as a means of indicating that this is something that we also need to know in reference to yani the hour of judgment. What are its signs? The major signs and the lesser signs, and we should go back and look at them. Yani for a brief discussion of this topic, if somebody wants to read something brief, then Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen has a beautiful summary of these major signs of the last day in his explanation of Lumat al-Itiqad by Al-Imam ibn Qudama, rahimahullah. The Shaykh says, so these are what he mentioned here are from the signs of the nearness of the hour, the major signs, and then he said the other signs are those that come before that. And from the signs that are from the lesser signs from before that are the two things that are mentioned in this hadith, yani that the slave girl would give birth to her mistress, and that the yani barefooted, naked Bedouins would yani compete in building tall buildings. The Shaykh says the meaning of this statement from the signs of the hour, and تَلِدَ أُمَّتَهُ رَبَّتَهَا الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا, yani that a slave girl would give birth to its mistress. He said this has been explained in two ways, or yani from the explanations of it is, number one, it has been explained that this is an indication of yani the multitude of conquests that would take place, and the multitude of the captives, the prisoners of war. And from amongst those female prisoners of war captives are those who her master would have relations with her, and she would give birth, yani, to a child for him. So she became walad, yani, the mother of the child, meaning the slave who gives birth to a child for her master. So he said this is one explanation, so that that child from the slave woman, that child would be in the position of being the master, yani, of the one who gave birth to him. Another explanation, he said, is that it has been explained as an indication of the changing of conditions that would take place in the world, and the occurrence of disobedience, of children being extremely disobedient to their mothers and their fathers, and that those children would have control over their parents, such that it would be as though the children are the masters of their mothers and their fathers. Disobedience of children to their parents, to such an extent, it is as though they are the masters of their parents. The Shaykh, he says at the end of this discussion that these two signs mentioned here have already occurred. And the second of them, any disobedience of children to their parents, is witnessed today by any everyone. May Allah save us from having children that reflect this sign of the last day. May Allah make our children righteous children, yani, so that they can supplicate for us after our death, and obedient children, yani, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them as well. The saying of the meaning of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "An tara al-hufat al-urat al-aala ri'asha yatatawaluna fil bunyan." Four naked, barefooted shepherds competing in building tall buildings. He said it means al-fuqara, al-ladina yara'un al-ghanam, wa la yajiduna ma yaktasuna bihi. Yani, the poor people who are grazing animals, and they didn't even find anything to clothe themselves with. Their conditions would change, and then they would go to the city dwelling places, and they would be competing in building tall buildings. He said both of these signs have already occurred. The last point that the Shaykh mentions is in the end of the hadith, in the narration as the Shaykh mentions it, فَمَّنْ طَلَقَ فَلَبِثَ مَلِيًّا. And in some of the narrations, yani, in some of the transcripts, it has فَمَّنْ طَلَقَ فَلَبِثْتُ مَلِيًّا. ثُمَّ قَالَ يَا عُمَرَ أَتَدْرِي من السائل قلت الله ورسوله أعلم قال فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. يعني then he went away, that is Jibril عليه السلام, and in this narration he waited for some time, in the other narration I waited for some time, and then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to me, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? And I said, Allah and His Messenger knows best. He said, indeed it is Jibril, he came to teach you your deen. And the Shaykh says the meaning of maliyan, it means zamanan, yani, some time passed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed his companions about the questioner, that it was Jibril alayhi salam, after his departure from them. And it is reported in some of the narrations that he informed Umar after 3. And there's no contradiction between this. That is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed those who were present, and Umar had no longer been amongst them. Yani, he had departed himself. He had departed from the gathering from that point, yani, before the Prophet ﷺ informed them about who was the questioner. And then it happened that the Prophet, that Umar radiallahu anhu met the Prophet ﷺ after 3, and he was informed that it was Jibril. The last thing that we have here, as we mentioned, the minhaj of the Shaykh in his explanation of these hadith, is that he would, yani, explain each hadith in points, point by point paragraphs, yani, separating one point from another, and then in the end, the last point would be some of the benefits that are derived from the hadith, and here the Shaykh mentions 12 of them, And there are some other points that we wanted to add, but because any of the shortness of time and the nearness of the Iqamah, we'll just suffice with what he has mentioned here, and maybe at another time try to go back with some further details. So from that which is derived from this hadith, number one. And inshallah we're going to try to send to the class yani the translation of these points, since the book is not translated, at least these points we'll try to share with you from our brother Abdul Salam, who has translated this these fawaid previously. The first point he said is that a questioner, just as they ask a question in order to learn, they might also ask a question in order to teach. That is, they might ask somebody who they know has knowledge of a particular affair for the purpose of those who are present to hear the answer and to learn from it. As Jibril alayhi salam knew the answer to the questions that were answered, but he asked yani the question in order for the people to benefit. Second point, that the angels are able to change the form of their creation by the permission of Allah, and they may come in the form of human beings. And this, the changing of the form of the angels, is not a proof or a delil for the permissibility of acting and plays and movies and this type of thing, which has become widespread in this day and time. This is not a delil for that, because this, yani these plays and acting, is a form of kadhib. Yani it's false, it's not true. But what happened with the angel Jibreel alayhi salam, this was by the permission of Allah and by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no relation between the two. Number three, he said, clarification of the adab of the muta'allim and al mu'allim. Yani, in this hadith there is some clarification of the manners of the student in the presence of the teacher. And the Shaykh doesn't go into any details here, but yani perhaps some of the details that we might look at in the future yani relate to the manner of the student coming to the gathering for learning, their dress, their behavior, their calmness, their respect, sitting near to the teacher, and so on like this, how to ask questions and so on. And Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, Allah, in his excellent 40 hadith, goes into some detail concerning this particular point, if anybody would like to go back to it, and it is translated into English. Number four, from this hadith we learn that when the words Islam and Iman are mentioned together, then Islam is explained as al-umur al-zahira, the outward of things that we see. And Iman is explained by al-umur al-batina, the inward things that we don't see, yani what we believe in. Point number five, from this hadith we also understand the importance of beginning with that which is more important, yani beginning with alham, and then that which is yani also important but less important. And that is because in this hadith, in the explanation of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ began with that which was most important of the arkan of Islam, that is what? Huh? Naam, al-shahadatayn. And he began his explanation of Iman with the most important of the arkan of Iman, and that is Iman Billahi. Point number six, the Shaykh says that the arkan of Islam are five. Unlike what we read in some people who is attributed to them scholarship, we read in some of the famous books in English, and it's not only in English, that yani other than this, the arkan of Islam are five and the usul of Iman are six. The arkan of Islam are five, and the usul of Iman are six. Number seven, that al-Iman, anna al-Iman, bi usul al-Iman, as-sitta min jumlat al-Iman bil-ghayb. Naam, that having Iman in these fundamentals, yani usul of Iman, as-sitta, the six fundamentals of Iman, having Iman in these six things is part of Iman al-ghayb, having Iman in the unseen. This is part of the many aspects of Iman in the unseen. Number eight, clarification of superiority of one over the other, that is Islam and Iman and Ihsan. Yani that Iman is superior to Islam and Ihsan is superior to Iman. Number nine, clarification of the high station of the level of Al-Ihsan, its high, lofty station. Number ten, that the knowledge of the hour is from that which Allah has kept for himself, yani that is not shared with anyone in the creation. Number 11, clarification of something, a little bit of the signs of the hour. And finally, the last point the Shaykh says, قول المسؤول لما لا يعلم الله أعلم. Yani that a person who's being asked about something which they didn't know, that they should say Allahu A'lam. And this is derived from what? Saying Allahu A'lam in this hadith is derived from what? From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying mal masul bi a'lam min as-sa'il. Yani he said, yani basically that literally he said the one who is being questioned doesn't know any more than the questioner. The meaning of it is what? Allahu A'lam. Yani I don't know. And that's what a person should say when they don't know. They should say they don't know, and they should not do what we find people doing today. May Allah save us from that. And he's just freestyling. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. After the salat, inshallah, we're going to pray now. After the salat, if anybody wants to recite this hadith that we just completed today, then I'm willing to remain behind and listen to you. You can do it publicly or privately, as you like, however you feel comfortable with. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khairan.